Rebecca, Jerome, Diego, that's all yours.
Okay. So good morning, everyone. So my name is Guillaume Jégot. I'm a research scientist at Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. And today I'll talk about the use of the sticks crop model in northern climates. So to start, a few information about the climatic conditions in Canada. Here you have the graph with the monthly average temperature, and in Canada we have an average daily temperature below 0 degrees Celsius during 3 to 4 months per year over most parts of the country, except maybe in the Vancouver region where the winter are more warmer. And we have snow cover in winter over most parts of the country as well, and the short growing season starting in April or May and ending in October. September or October. And most agricultural areas are located in humid and semi-arid climatic zone, and that's a climate also prevailing in the northern part of the US. And we found also this kind of climate in some parts of Europe, like Finland, Poland, and also in Asia, in some parts of China or Japan. So that was for the climatic condition in the air. Now, what's happening in the soil? On this graph, I want to show you the daily average air temperature in blue and soil temperature in black from May 2009 to April 2011 in Quebec. And what you can see is that during the growing season, the air temperature and the soil temperature are very close. But during the winter, you can see that the air temperature can drop up to minus 10 or minus 20, but the soil temperature in black will remain close to 0 degrees Celsius. And that's because of the snow cover. The snow has an insulation effect and it protects the soil from the cold air. So the snow cover keeps soil biological processes active in winter in northern regions, and several studies showed that the carbon and nitrogen cycles were active even when soil temperature was slightly below 0 degrees Celsius. And the nitrogen losses, either to the atmosphere or by leaching during winter, could represent more than half of the annual total losses. So I think it's important to take into account the effect of the snow cover in crop models, especially if you want to simulate nitrogen, carbon, and water cycles. So the objectives of our study was to work to improve and evaluate several simple snow cover models, then to evaluate the impact of the use of snow cover model on soil temperature and soil moisture predictions of the sticks crop model, and finally to determine whether or not the use of the snow cover model improved the predictions of drainage and soil end processes in winter. So first we compared several snow models. The first one is a snow mouse model developed by Trenka et al. In 2010. Second model that we evaluated is a modification of the snow mouse model. The modification is that we use the maximum temperature instead of the minimum temperature to determine the form of precipitation, so rain or snow. And the third model was the Thorsen model, also a modification of the Thorsen model. And in that model, the snow melting rate was a function of time of the year, and that model also take into account the simulation of snow compaction. And we wanted a very simple model that worked at a daily time step and used simple weather data like minimum temperature, daily minimum and maximum temperature, and total precipitation. So first of all, we calibrated the three snow models using snow depth measurements in an experimental field near Quebec City from 2009 to 2011. And then we used the snow depth measurements on 12 sites across Canada in order to validate the three models. So I'll show you quickly the results of the validation of the three snow models. So if you look at the eastern side, the model efficiency and the root mean square error were very good with the Thorsen model. So you have a high model efficiency and a low root mean square error with the Thorsen model. And that's also something that we found in the western side. So the Thorsen model provided the best prediction for snow cover. And you have a graph showing, in order to show you the measured and the predicted snow depth in Ottawa during 12 winters. And you can see that the model was able to predict pretty well the beginning and the end of the snow cover periods, and as well the snow depth. So we used the Thorson model for the rest of the study. And then the second step was to couple the snow model with the Stix-Frob model. So, as I mentioned, we used the Thorson model, and it's important to mention that we validated the model for flat and unobstructed area. That model probably doesn't work very well if you have a slope or trees or building around the experimental site. And we use a pre-processing approach proposed in a previous study. In that approach, if the snow depth is higher than the user-defined threshold, then there is a forcing of the minimum and maximum temperature. And so when the snow depth is above zero but below that threshold, then there is a linear relationship between the measured and between measured air temperature and the forcing temperature. And there is also accumulation of precipitation as snow and release as water during melting periods. So it's just a quick overview of the Stix crop model. So to run that crop model, you need, of course, climate data. You need crop management, plant information, and soil properties. The model simulates the plant growth in a direction with the soil and the atmosphere. And the outputs are both environmental and agronomic. And what we did, we run the Stix model without the snow model, and also with the snow model in order to pre-process the weather data. And we evaluated the impact on soil temperature, soil moisture, drainage, and N2O emissions prediction. So we evaluated we used three experimental sites to evaluate the impact of the weather data pre-processing. On the Fredericton site, we have soil temperature, soil moisture, soil nitrate and ammonium, and N2O emissions measurements. On the Quebec side, we have soil temperature, soil moisture, and drainage measurements. And on the Ottawa side, we have soil temperature and soil moisture measurements. So I'll show you some of these results. First graph is a comparison of the measured and predicted soil temperature in Quebec. That's for the first soil layer, so 0 to 15 centimeters. So what you can see is that we have here 3 years, so 3 growing seasons and 3 winters. During the growing season, you can see that the 3 lines, so the blue line is a measured soil temperature, the red line is the prediction of the model without the snow model, and the green line, is the predicted soil temperature with the snow model. And you can see that during the growing season, the model was able to predict pretty well the soil temperature with or without the snow model. But in winter, if you don't use the snow model, the predicted soil temperature will be strongly underestimated. The second graph shows you the soil moisture prediction. So again, blue is the measurements, red is the model prediction without the snow model, and green with the snow model. So it's a bit difficult to see the difference on the graph, but if you look at the statistic on the right, you can see that when you use the snow model, the model efficiency of soil moisture is higher, and the mean error and the root mean square error are lower. So better prediction of soil moisture with the snow model. So better prediction of soil moisture, does that mean that we also better predict the drainage during winter? That's what I want to show you on this slide. So you have the cumulative drainage in winter, spring, and summer on the Quebec side during the 2011 year. Again, blue is the cumulative measured drainage. In red, you have the model prediction without the snow model, and in green with the snow model. So what you can see here is that in winter, if you don't use the snow model, then the model will largely overestimate the drainage, because the model considers that all precipitation are rain. And when we use the snow cover model to pre-process the weather data, the model prediction for drainage are better. Still overestimation, but it's still an improvement. In spring, again, the model predictions are better with the snow model. And in summer, there is almost no changes. So finally, just show you the impact on the N2O emissions with and without the snow model. So again, blue the measurements, red the model prediction without the snow model, and green with the snow model. And on the right side, you have the measurements in blue. And when we run the model without the snow model, you can see that the first period of high emission during winter is underestimated, while the model was able to predict pretty well the high emission in spring, in April. And with the snow model, the model predicted better the N2O emission during the winter, and also the high emission in spring is still well predicted. So in summary, the use of snow model to process the weather data improved the simulation of soil temperature and soil moisture and the snow cover. And the preliminary results showed that the simulation of processes relevant to water and cycles will also improve when we preprocess the weather data. And that snow cover model is currently being implemented in the StixWarp model, and it should be available in the next version of the model. So I thank you, and I don't know if you have time for a few questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Sorry.
No, not yet. Currently, we didn't simulate the model only considered the total water in the soil, and it doesn't simulate the liquid and the frozen water in the soil. That's something we would like to do in the future, because I think that some of the processes in the soil in winter are more limited by the water availability than by temperature. So that's something we would like to do, yeah.
Do you use during your snow cover the soil temperature as the temperature for driving your crop as well then?
Yes, so I didn't present that, but one of the objectives is also to better simulate the winter survival of perennial crops, yeah, and winter crops. Yeah.
Are there any trends with snow cover over the last 30 years or so? Have you noticed anything in the data?
No, not really.
Okay.
We only use 10 years, and it's probably not enough to see a trend.
Any more questions?
A related question, I think you might have an answer to this too, but you mentioned the insulative properties of snow, you use the snow model to estimate the quantity, but obviously you make comparisons with observed grid and soil temperature, so I guess it's in there, but the sticks itself do the, I guess, heat transfer through snow, or is that part of the snow model?
Sorry,
So basically the effect that the soil cover is having on snow
cover
side of your soil
temperature.
Yeah. Is that being simulated in the snow model?
No, it's in the sticks crop model.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Any more questions? All right. Thank you.